And did you hear on my mind every hour of the day without your sweet inspiration?
It's Tuesday night, everybody. It's 7 p.m. on the West Coast, the Left Coast, we call it. And it's time for the Tammy Jackson Show on the 405. This is Tammy Jackson welcoming you to 60 minutes of sweet conservative inspiration. If you want to do so, you know the drill. Interact with comments and questions on Twitter during the show. Follow me at Tammy J, T-A-M-I-J. My guest tonight is somebody y'all know and love. Every time I have him on, people say they enjoy him and implore me to have him back again. That's Timothy Shea. Timothy Shea has been active in GOP politics deep behind enemy lines in the Northeast for over 40 years. That's a long time. He has served as a town meeting member, town GOP committee member, and state convention delegate in Massachusetts. The former host of Radio Red Nation Rising, he is a political commentator and essayist. Timothy, you're also my good friend, and that's the greatest thing about you. And I want to thank you for making time to be on the show tonight.
Absolutely, Tammy. So great to be on with you again. And right from the start, I want to say congrats to your Beavs. They did it the hard way. I was a little worried for you after game one, but they really came through in the College World Series.
You know, what was a little bit fun was listening to Arkansas, and their fans seemed to think it was good protocol to chant that somebody on our team sucked. So they were saying that about the batter, and then he hit a home run, which won the game. Then they were saying that about Kevin Abel, our pitcher, in the last game, and Kevin pitched a no-hitter. He gave most of the credit to the team that had held them defensively and had achieved the runs. But I thought, how funny is that, that they were yelling that stuff and our guys, the Beavs, just carried on.
Power right through. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
I didn't know that story.
Yeah, they're really, really good kids, and it's fascinating for anybody listening. If you watch the College World Series, my Oregon State Beavers took it all, but they had to do it the hard way, because once you get in the loser's bracket, there are a lot more games you have to play to get there. And when they hit Arkansas was a little bit arrogant, and they figured, you know, they would just do away with the Beavs, but the Beavers refused to go away, and they won it all. And I'd like to mention that Coach Pat Casey is so incredible. One of the things he's done for quite some time is have a character coach for his kids, not just a team chaplain, but a character coach. And the guy happens to be the pastor or youth pastor, I believe, of Calvary Chapel in Corvallis. And he meets with these kids. He doesn't just pray with them. He counsels with them. He has meals with them. He talks to them about character and ethics and in every area of life. And it shows, I think, when they get out on the field. So it makes me real proud of them.
That's wonderful. I had never heard that.
Yeah, well, something you hadn't heard, that's pretty rare, because usually you're ahead of me. You've got all the scoops, Timothy.
So, well, I try to stay on top of things. It's been a fun week, huh?
It has been a fun week, but let me tell you, you're still deep in enemy territory, and now, especially on the internet, Timothy, you and I know that every conservative involved in media at all has been and is being attacked by the radical left via social media. They've been censoring us. They've been muting us. But you have been shunned or banished from social media. Tell us what's going on. What's the deal?
Well, I want to say, first of all, you know, I'm not that big a deal on social media, right? But I had a Twitter account that had almost 12,000 followers that were all organic. I didn't buy any of them. I, you know, developed it over my years of hosting the Radio Red Nation Rising
right.
show and subsequently.
Yeah.
And Fascist Jack fried that account. So at TimboTim62 is now dead.
Oh, my word.
And then over on Facebook, I was bumping up against the 5,000 friend limitation, and they were starting to squelch my posts. And I took a real leap into the unknown by starting a page because I thought, well, you know, out of these 5,000 quote unquote friends, I'm only interacting with 250 to 300 of these people. And if I start a page, am I going to have 250 or 300 likes and followers? And am I just going to be speaking, you know, into the same space? And I was incredibly gratified that in 5 weeks it grew to over 10,000 followers, and Facebook fried that page.
Wow.
But I know that, and threw me in jail for 30 days. And guess why I got on my main account? Guess why I got thrown in jail for 30 days?
Why?
My page was called Patriot Uprising. The logo I developed was a rasterized image of the Minuteman statue that overlooks Lexington Green.
Right.
The Minuteman statue was deemed to violate Facebook standards and got me a 30-day timeout. It's absolutely ridiculous. And over on Twitter, even before they fried TimboTim62, they were shadow banning me like crazy. And I know this because I had almost 12,000 followers, and I used to get between 100 to 200 retweets on every tweet, pretty much every one of my tweets, because, you know, I'm snarky, right?
Yes.
I tell the truth in a really funny way,
yeah.
And I've got a very wry sense of humor, and I meme like crazy. People just enjoy my snark.
Right.
100 to 200 retweets. All of a sudden, I'm down to 4, 7, maybe a good one would get 12 or 15.
Oh, my goodness.
On 12,000 followers. So
right.
Then they nuke that. And I start my backup. I start a second account, and now with only about 300 followers, I'm getting 15, 20, 25 retweets or more.
Right.
One tweet today got 8 retweets, but it got 60 some likes. It's just, you know. And here's the thing: we're adults. None of us are espousing violence, which Twitter has no problem. Facebook has no problem with Muslims advocating the killing of Jews and Christians. Facebook and Twitter have no problem with fascists in Antifa and the other leftist fascist organizations advocating violence against Trump administration officials or us personally. They've got no problem with that. But if we post anything patriotic, if we post anything in support of the president, if we post anything making fun of Hillary, Bill, Bernie, Nancy, and that whole cabal of criminals,
Elizabeth,
we get thrown into jail like it's nursery school or something. It's absolutely outrageous. There is no quote unquote community on social media. There are multiple communities.
Right.
And
right.
Clearly, if I can get 10,000, and again, I'm not fame-fagging here. This isn't about me. But in 5 weeks, if I can get 10,000 followers, I'm obviously speaking to a community that wants to hear what I have to say.
Yep.
So
yep.
Don't go saying that the Minuteman statue is against community standards, because nobody in my community thinks it is. They're all outraged.
Yeah, yeah. And I have to tell you, a couple months ago, I got an email from the CEO of a media company that owns a few of the sites where I've worked, and or doesn't own them, it hosts them, I should say, but it does own quite a few sites. And they have been doing everything they can to keep Facebook from demonetizing sites and from muting sites. They told us how to tell everybody to, you know, because people will like a page and then they'll never see the news from that page in their mainstream on
yep.
Facebook. And they can't figure out why. Well, that's Facebook's and their algorithms. They do that.
It's worse than the algorithms. They have people. They have literally thousands of people that go through and manually unfollow pages. People told me on Patriot Uprising, they had to like and follow me every single morning in order to get notifications for when I did my live streams.
Wow. Wow. And so they gave us instructions on how people can go into their page settings and say that they want to hear from this page daily. They want that news first. Now, I've done it with all the sites that I like and that I work at and so forth. So I get that stuff. So I think it's working. But if you don't go to that trouble, and a lot of people don't want to go to that trouble, you will not see those sites at all. But it gets worse, because a couple months ago when the CEO emailed all of us that are editors that he knows, and he tries to keep us in the loop, he said that Facebook was rolling out some new stuff and some tougher community guidelines. And what I got from it, Timothy, is that if you had a title or content that indicated anything was wrong or, God forbid, sinful, etc., that spoke of any alternate lifestyle or religion or what have you in a pejorative manner, except Christianity and conservatism. That's
absolutely
okay. But anything else, if you speak of them, and if you say, you know, God can rescue you from the sin of homosexuality, oh my goodness, you would be stricken down and muted immediately. If you said somebody was on there writing about their changing, you know, sexes and then changing back, and that God delivered them, and that, you know, there was such a post that was up, and that was horrible. That was just absolutely horrible to the censorship gods at Facebook. So these are not hate filled things, but, and those were extreme examples. I can come up with more subtle examples that they also thought were bad. You know, something about God shedding his grace on America sort of title, and that was bad.
They banned the Declaration of Independence.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
The Declaration of Independence was deemed a portion of the Declaration of Independence, because this newspaper was publishing it seriatim, a little bit each day.
Right.
A portion of the Declaration of Independence was deemed to violate Facebook community standards. It's absolutely ludicrous.
And Congress,
you know, I'm a constitutional conservative all day long and twice on Sundays, and I am not a big proponent of government oversight and government involvement in markets, but Congress needs to drop the hammer, and it needs to drop the hammer hard. I was outraged when I found out that Mark Zuckerberg, sitting on his briefcase booster seat there, wasn't under oath. Okay, why he was testifying not under oath is beyond me, and Congress needs to come in and really act. We need IBOR, the Internet Bill of Rights. We need to have this harassment end.
Wow. We absolutely do. I know so many people, and I know a lot of conservative actors, etc., that have just left Twitter. They said no more. And I wondered, because you changed your name on Facebook, and I thought, I know this is Tim. I see his face. And
that's my name in Irish.
I was going to say it's the Irish spelling of Timothy Shea.
Yeah, Tig Shea.
Yeah, and that was very clever of you. Every once in a while, I wonder if I'm going to get banned, because I have a lot of stuff up, and I do a lot of stuff with guns, etc., and they don't like that. They don't like any kind of weapons.
That's why my Patriot Uprising logo was banned, got me 30 days, because he's holding a brown vest musket.
Well, I'll tell you something, and of course, this is very timely, because coming up at the break is the Robar ad. I work for Robar a little bit. They sponsor the show and are a wonderful, wonderful company. But it's interesting, because their page on Facebook, I helped them from the get-go with social media and content. And I thought, man, back in 2014, it's hard to grow this site. And it's so fantastic. And it has all these people across the nation that love what Robar does, because they build and they refurbish and they do all this stuff with firearms for special forces, for the military, for law enforcement, all over the world. And yet it was tough to grow this. And then I started realizing Facebook disallowed a number of things because it had weapons in the title, weapons in the pictures. And I thought, oh my goodness, their apps. And they said we could never boost a post. Like, usually they want you to pay money to boost posts.
Right.
We could never boost a post because it.
No, the jackbooted thugs were stepping on your neck.
Yeah, they were. because they didn't want us talking about weaponry. Of course. Hey, we've got to take a quick break. I'll be back with my guest, Timothy Shea. The Tammy Jackson Show, as you know, as I just mentioned, is sponsored by Robar Companies. They are a true custom firearms and firearms finishing shop. They're located in Phoenix, Arizona. They're found online at robarguns.com. They're known for their superlative gunsmithing and finishes, especially NP3 and NP3 Plus. They've got a new one coming out, Armor Lube. This is going to be absolute science fiction as far as what it does. You will be astounded. And for those students of history, especially firearms history, you'll know about the legendary Scout rifle that was built for Lieutenant Colonel Jeff Cooper. Well, Robar is in the process of building a new Scout rifle. I want everybody to have a heads up on this. It's a heavy Scout, or as Jeff Cooper called it, a Dragoon. So I want you to stay tuned for that reveal. It's going to be absolutely amazing. People are waiting for that to come out. So remember, if you need to give your worn firearm new life, check out robarguns.com, sponsor of the Tammy Jackson Show.
On the 405.
Shop Amazon, support the 405 Media. Click on the banner on top of our homepage. Then you know what to do. The 405 Media is an Amazon associate. That means you get great deals on Amazon.com and support the Talk Alternative at no extra charge. We are the 405media.com. Thank you.
I love Tammy.
I love you back, Kurt, because I'm a caring kind of gal.
The Tammy Jackson Show.
I'm just one conservative gal encouraging you to keep fighting the good fight.
Tammy is what conservative insurgency is about.
Tammy Jackson, the granddaughter of legal immigrants.
In Honduras, they had 60,000 murders per 100,000, something like that. And I thought, whoa, that is a lot.
Like every other person on the block is dead.
Tammy Jackson, the emerging threat from the West Coast.
Tammy has made herself into a rising radio star.
When we have these mass amounts just suddenly pour into the United States, we have a worse problem than we already have had with assimilation.
The Tammy Jackson Show, Tuesday nights, 10 Eastern, 7 Pacific, only on the 405media.com.
Anything for you, Tammy.
The 405.
Let's talk tech. Tech news discussions from the people in the industry right here in Pittsburgh. Online, gadgets, startups, and more. Check it out at awesomecast.net.
AwesomeCast. It's all about tech and it's all about gadgets. It's AwesomeCast, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, on the 405media.com.
405.
This is Mike from the Wrestling Mayhem Show, the show where we get fans and people in the wrestling industry together to talk about pro wrestling, WWE, NXT, WrestleMania, all kinds of fun. It's a podcast party. Check it out, Wrestling Mayhem Show, right here on the 405 Media.
Listen to the Wrestling Mayhem Show, now 7 nights a week, 9 p.m. Pacific, midnight Eastern, right here on the 405media.com.
On the 405.
This is Tammy Jackson with my guest, Timothy Shea. If you're just joining the show, Timothy Shea has been active in GOP politics deep behind enemy lines in the Northeast for over 40 years. The former host of Red Nation Rising, he's a political commentator and essayist. Timothy, okay, we just got done talking about the squelching of conservative thought. Well, now let's talk about something that's new, and it's the hashtag walkaway, the walkaway campaign. Tell us a little bit about Walkaway.
Great new movement started by a homosexual hairdresser from New York City, a great young guy named Brandon Straka, and he's been getting a lot of media. He's been on the Fox shows, started with Tucker, he did Laura, he did Judge Jeanine's show this weekend. He's over in England and going to be in Greece next week. It is a phenomenally fast-growing social media phenomenon, hashtag walkaway. He's got a Facebook page, hashtag walkaway campaign, and also another page, The Unsilent Minority. He realized slowly over time that his values no longer aligned with those promulgated by the Democrat Party. And he said it was a series of steps. It wasn't any one thing, but it was a slow awakening and a slow realization that these people aren't who I am. And they just want to pigeonhole me as a homosexual, so I fit into that box. And therefore, I have to agree 100% with their agenda. And as soon as I disagreed with their agenda at all, he was receiving a lot of hate and he couldn't understand it. So he came out with a video a few weeks ago. It's a great video, very professionally done. He's, you know, it's a dark backdrop and he's wearing a black t-shirt, and so it's just his face. And he talks about his quote-unquote conversion experience. And he actually has said in media that it was harder for him to come out as no longer a Democrat than it was for him to come out of the closet as a homosexual. Okay, wow. the hate he got. And he, on the flip side, he's been unbelievably shocked in a pleasant way and overjoyed by the love and acceptance and welcoming that he has received from those of us on the right. Because he said, you know, all we are told is that conservatives hate us. You don't hate us. It's like, no, we don't hate you. We might not agree with you, but I don't agree with, you know, we don't agree with each other on a lot of stuff.
Yes, exactly,
and
right.
It's hockey sticked. I think there's over 80,000 people just in the last few weeks that have followed the Walkaway campaign Facebook page. It's growing incredibly. He's been doing a lot of media. And the Facebook page has video testimonials of people that are telling their walkaway stories. Union guys in the Midwest, the Rust Belt, actors, people in LA, people in New York, people in Miami. The Pulse, the reaction of the Democrat Party to the Pulse nightclub shooting was a big wake-up red pill moment for a lot of people in the gay and lesbian community.
Wow.
Because they realized, wow, these people don't care about us at all. They're just using us for votes.
Yes.
And so many people, Tammy, you go on there, the stories are so inspirational. These are just great American stories. Whether you agree with these people's life choices or their values, or they are great Americans. And they are standing up and they are being counted and they are telling their story. And almost universally, they're expressing shock, dismay, and pleasure in how they're being welcomed.
Because yeah.
I have said, and I've said it on your show, Candace Owens is working on a project in the black community that's going to be doing the same thing. I have said all along that most black Americans share our values.
Yes.
They have been brainwashed by the Democrat Party, and there's going to come a time when they wake up and realize that the DNC is just using them for votes, and what it's been with them has been the illegal alien issue. It's like, wait a second. Our inner cities are in the shape they're in, and our young people can't get jobs, and here you want to bring in all these illegals?
Yes.
What's going on here?
Right.
So a lot of them are waking up. And I have consistently said, when these people wake up, because just because you walk away from the Democrat Party doesn't mean that you're walking into the Republican Party, right? I've long said that the Democrat Party, if it stays on this path, they're going to go the way of the Whigs. I've said for decades that the Democratic Party of JFK and Harry Truman died on the streets of Chicago outside the 1968 DNC. And the very protesters that were on the street in Chicago were on the floor 4 years later as delegates. And the communists have taken over the Democrat Party.
Oh, they have.
And I see the Democrat Party going the way of the Whigs. We should have a Democratic Socialist Party or an American Communist Party. And whether a lot of these walkaway people become Republicans, whether they form a new center party, That remains to be seen. And that's really interesting because, okay, you walked away, but what are you walking to? Where is this going to go? Yeah, this isn't just a Google Hangout. It's just not a social media meetup. Here's a body of voters that are active. They're rejecting the socialism that they're getting from the Democrat Party. But, you know, the Republican Party has to appeal to them.
Yes.
And if they don't like what the Republican Party offers, do they start their own party or what happens? And I think it's a fascinating time.
Yeah, it really is. There's an article that you shared with me about this over at LifeSite News, which is very interesting. The fellow that started all this is Brandon Straka. And there's one paragraph I really liked. It says, Straka, who is openly gay, launched the campaign with his own May 26 video testimony explaining that he originally became a liberal out of opposition to hatred, discrimination, groupthink, censorship, and junk science, and that he walked away from liberalism when he came to believe liberalism embodied rather than opposed those ills. I think that is so fantastic, Timothy.
It is, and it's what you and I have been saying and others have been saying for the longest time, is that everything the left accuses us of are the exact things of which they are guilty.
Yes.
It's Alinsky 101, project your sins onto your opponent.
Absolutely. And Straka, they've got a quote of his, quote, liberalism has been co-opted and absorbed by the very characteristics it claims to fight against. For years now, I have watched as people on the left have become anesthetized to their own prejudices and bigotry, and the prejudices and bigotry of those around them who echo their values. I have witnessed the irony of advocacy for gender equality morph into blatant hatred and intolerance of men and masculinity. I've seen the once earnest fight for equality for the LGBT community mutate into an illogical demonization of heteronormativity. Try saying that three times. And the push to vilify and attack our conventional concepts of gender. He is so right. It's one thing to say we love everybody, and as a Christian, I believe the Bible, and I believe certain things are sin, but I love people. God loves people. So, as you said, I may disagree with their life choices, and if they ask me what the Bible says, I'll tell them. But I sure don't hate anybody, Timothy. That's a
Absolutely not a very different thing. Yeah, we are all children of God. But guess what?
Yeah.
God hates sexual immorality and fornication just as much as he does homosexuality.
Exactly.
And it's not the homosexuals, it's the behavior, right? It's not the heterosexuals, it's the adultery, stupid. 20% of the Ten Commandments are devoted toward adultery, so I think God's got a problem with that.
Yeah, he does. He does. Interesting stuff. I had fun when I had the activist mommy on the show. I said, well,
I love her.
She's so awesome. And I said, well, lest anybody think that Christians hate sex. No, that's not it. God created it. It's good, good stuff. But it's good stuff in the right way. And I said, Elizabeth, obviously, you and your husband don't hate sex. You've got 10 kids.
Well, you know, and that's going to get us into the second half. We'll address that in the second half. But they think that people with large families are weird.
They do.
They really do.
There's a lot of animosity towards people having kids, period. A lot of the vegan societies are anti-breeding and just hate for anybody that has too many kids. Very, very interesting stuff.
Well, look, we've said it time and time again. They are against anything good and decent and wholesome and upright. All they can do is tear down and criticize and divide.
Yep.
And it's going to end up in their demise.
It certainly is.
As a political party.
Yep. You're listening to the Tammy Jackson Show on the 405. I'll be back on the other side of the break with my great guest, Timothy Shea. The Tammy Jackson Show is brought to you by Camera Security Now. Camera Security Now sells and installs surveillance and access control systems for businesses nationwide. Camera Security Now can handle your largest surveillance projects while still providing easy-to-reach personal service They have upfront pricing on itemized quotes, remote access to your surveillance system with no monthly fees, and same-day virtual site visits. You can rest assured your security needs are in capable hands. For more information, visit CameraSecurityNow.com or call 800-440-1662. That's CameraSecurityNow.com, sponsor of The Tammy Jackson Show.
Shop Amazon, support the 405 Media. Click on the banner on top of our homepage. Then you know what to do. The 405 Media is an Amazon associate. That means you get great deals on Amazon.com and support the Talk Alternative at no extra charge. We are the 405media.com. Thank you.
Whoa, a new digital music player. Thanks, Mom.
Oh, I'm glad you like it, because I can't wait to toss the big stereo. And now that we got your dad that big HD TV he wanted, we can throw out our old TV, too.
Hold up. You can't just throw out electronics.
Really?
They need to be recycled or donated.
And how would we do that?
It's so easy, Mom. Today, recycling electronics is just as easy as buying them. GreenerGadgets.org has all the info. We just enter our zip code to find a certified recycling center nearby. There are thousands of them, and new ones are being added all the time. Some of our local stores are even certified recycling locations.
I like that.
Did you know that some of the stuff in our old electronics could be used to make new products and conserve natural resources?
Well, okay then. Let's gather them up. What was that website again?
GreenerGadgets.org. We just enter our zip code and go.
Children are at greater risk than adults from contaminants carried by floodwater. Since they dehydrate faster, they need to drink plenty of fluids. If the safety of your water is in question, either use bottled water or bring tap water to a rolling boil for at least 1 minute, and let it cool before use. You should also keep children away from mud and make sure they don't play with anything that may have become polluted by floodwater or sludge. From the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency.
We are a bold and active voice for the unborn. We are Audio Girl Ministries, saving the lives of babies by helping moms in crisis pregnancies get past the crisis. How? Free ultrasound imaging so the woman can see the life she's carrying, and by supplying her with essential baby items, diapers, clothes, food, crib, car seat, all given with a loving and caring heart. Want to help? Log on to audiogirlministries.com and make a tax-deductible donation. audiogirlministries.com. Thanks.
Not a soul up ahead and nothing behind. There's a desert in my blood and a storm in your eyes. Am I the king of nothing at all?
Welcome back, everybody. This is Tammy Jackson. I'm a little over halfway through the show here on the 405 and continuing my conversation with Timothy Shea. You know who Timothy is. He's been on a number of times. He's a good friend and a good friend to all of you. He's a former host of Radio Red Nation Rising and a political commentator and essayist. Timothy, Donald Trump has once again kept his promise to pick originalist justices for the federal courts and the Supreme Court. I'm just thrilled, and everybody listening, on June 27, after more than 30 years at the center of many of the Supreme Court's famous and infamous decisions, Justice Anthony M. Kennedy announced his retirement, and that set us up for this latest appointment.
Indeed, Tammy, and you know, I was looking at the list of justices today, and I'm starting to feel old because these justices are replacing justices who replaced justices I grew up with. You know, I'm in my third generation now on some of these seats. It's like, oh man, I'm getting up there. And then you said, you know, I realized this fall it's going to be my first campaign was 50 years ago. I was 6 years old, leafleting with my dad. So,
wow.
Yeah, I've been doing this a long time and watching the court for decades. And it's so amazing because, you know, we knew the left would become unhinged, right? Last week, I posted on Sunday, okay, pivot from not wanting babies ripped from their mother's arms to, oh my gosh, the world's going to come to an end because there's going to be a Supreme Court justice that's going to prevent us from ripping babies from mothers' wombs. And that's exactly what has happened. happening. They're losing their minds. And I made one tweet with the President Trump's nomination of, brackets, insert name here, is the worst racist, most bigoted, you know, in history. And doesn't the Women's March fulfill my prophecy?
Yeah.
Did you see the press release they put out? President Trump's nomination of XX, and they didn't take out, they didn't put Kavanaugh's name in. The press release went out with XX on it, which was a placeholder.
Hilarious.
All of this, it's all AstroTurf. The signs have already been pre-printed. Okay, my printer friends say that takes, to do that number of signs and to get them printed and dried and distributed would take at least a week.
Wow.
Okay, so, yeah, the, you know, it's all AstroTurf. It's all Soros funded. It didn't matter who the nominee is. They had signs for Barrett. They had signs for Kethledge. They had signs for Kavanaugh. They have no credibility. None whatsoever.
No,
none.
They don't. And I heard these women protesting and yelling that they wanted freedom, that they wanted equal rights. They're not going to take away our rights. They're trying to take away our freedom. And they were screaming all this stuff. And I thought, where have these women been living? In a cave? We've been able to vote for decades and decades and decades and decades.
Thanks to the Republicans.
Yeah. Yes. We've had equality. We have equal rights. You guys want special rights, and you invented a right to kill your own child in your womb. That was nothing that did us any good. Thank you very much.
Now they're even going one further. They're going to say that Kavanaugh wants to ban contraception.
Oh,
it's complete
because
lunacy.
He's Catholic. Probably that's the only thing.
Yeah, but guess who else is Catholic? Guess who else is Catholic? Sotomayor.
Oh, of course.
Kennedy.
Yes.
And Kennedy and Thomas and Roberts and yes. Gorsuch. You know, come on.
Yeah.
I thought that the anti-Catholicism died when JFK got elected, but I guess not.
I guess not. Well, you know, anybody. Well, they like Catholics if the Catholics are pro-abortion and pro.
Yeah, yeah. We've got a real schism in our church between we Orthodox Catholics and the liberal lunatics. But the splody heads on the right have been just as bad, Tammy.
They have.
He's a rhino. He's a Bushy. Trump broke his promise. I mean, come on.
No. Well, let's talk a little bit before we get into Kavanaugh, because we've got the time to do this. Let's talk about Judge Barrett. Now, she became a little bit of a celebrity. I was talking about this with you during the break, but she was kind of a symbol during her confirmation hearings last year before the Senate Judiciary Committee, because she's a mother of seven who is, used to managing unruly behavior. But she impressed everybody because she was very patient and had handled the senators who were confused and asked crazy questions about her academic writings. And then it got down to Dianne Feinstein, who was accusing her of things because she was Catholic. And she finally said, the dogma lives loudly within you, and that's a concern. Now, first of all, Timothy, if Senator Dianne Feinstein dislikes someone, they're probably pretty good in my book to begin with.
Absolutely.
A little badge of honor there, I'd say. But
Tammy, correct me if I'm wrong, but doesn't the Constitution explicitly prohibit religious tests?
It does. It does.
How about that?
But Bernie doesn't agree with that, nor does Feinstein, nor a lot of the others, Chuckie Schumer, etc. If somebody has a faith that is actually vibrant and living and informing their conscience, those people do not like it.
Well, let's be very clear here. Okay, let's not use euphemisms or soft pedal this. We're talking about Christianity. If anyone has the Holy Spirit alive within them, that's a real problem for Democrats.
Well, it certainly is. because it might cause that person to act within the bounds of their conscience in the Bible.
Yeah, but we could be Sikh or Muslim or Hindi or Buddhist or, you know, whatever, and the Democrats would have no problem with that. It's only Christianity with which they have a problem.
You're absolutely right. And so they were all set to you know, just come unhinged at Amy Barrett. And you told me, and I want to read this so everybody knows what a great prognosticator you are. You texted this to me. Amy Barrett is a stalking horse, and the president floated her as a trial balloon to get the left to spend all their powder against her now. All of their anti-Catholicism bigotry, all of their hatred of people that have seven children, etc., is now out on the table. They have nothing left to come at her with. So nominate a strong constitutionalist now and wait for the notorious RBG to kick the bucket. That would be Ruth Bader Ginsburg, folks. At which point he can bring back Amy Barrett and say this seat should properly remain with a woman. Boom, two for one. The left is loaded up for her. If he pivots tonight and nominates someone else, they're so far over their skis on her, they won't be able to pivot with him, and he will have the advantage. You are absolutely right, Timothy.
Well, thank you. So far I'm only half right, okay? Because we've got to see if the other half comes true. What I foresee is that we're going to flip.
He did say she's next.
Well, we're gonna flip four, five, or six. Okay, so here's the inside baseball, right? The problem with nominating her this time was Lisa Murkowski in Alaska and Susan Collins in Maine.
Yes,
they both said that they were going to vote against her. Now, both Murkowski and Collins voted for Kavanaugh's appointment to the D.C. Circuit in 2006. So now they really cannot vote against him, right? So they're on board. That's not an issue. Then come the midterms, and I expect that we're going to be up to 54, 55, maybe even 56 senators, which takes Murkowski and Collins' ability to be the kingmakers completely away from them, because we don't need them. They can vote against Amy Barrett at that point, and it won't matter. So this is brilliant political poker that the president is played. I have read it this hand. I've read completely at least the first half of it, you know, but this prognostication is as much of an art as it is a science, because I really thought that the Democrats were going to pull a switcheroo and, you know, pull Hillary out for poor health or something and slide in Biden right before the election and take it away from Trump. So, you know, I was completely wrong about that. Political malpractice for them not to do that, because that was their only hope of beating Donald Trump.
Of course,
you know, they, you know, thank God they didn't do that, because, you know, look, like you, I was a Ted Cruz supporter, right? And yes, like you, the way that Trump lied about Ted Cruz during the campaign really turned me off. But as soon as he was the nominee, and I predicted he would be the nominee in January before the first primary, where I misread Donald Trump was I thought he was going to be a negotiator, not a revolutionary. And I cannot believe how much I love this man, because he has gone in there like a nuclear bomb, and he's working at a pace that they're completely unused to. But he's worked at this pace all of his working life. Yes. And he's constant forward motion. He's constant distraction. He gets them out over their skis and he pulls them out up from under them. They don't know. They're always playing catch up. They cannot keep up with him. He's always 10 steps ahead of them. And it's so much fun to watch.
I think it's fun when even the staffers, the White House staffers, if they're traveling, they say they're worn out and Trump is still going.
Yeah. And he's 70 years old. God love him.
I know. I love him. And the stuff he's done in regards to life, the courts, Israel, etc. He has just been phenomenal. Now this pick, Brett Kavanaugh, Shannon Coffin. He's an appellate lawyer in D.C. He wrote an article in National Review that I had read that I thought was very good. He said there is every reason to expect from Judge Kavanaugh's writing and speeches that he will fit comfortably within the conservative wing of the Supreme Court. As he explained in his speech last night, he views the proper separation of powers within the federal government as a bulwark of individual liberty. What that means is is that the federal government should be kept within its proper lanes with a proper recognition of the limits of the power of Congress, the president, and the courts as established by the Constitution. And I think that's phenomenal, because what we need is textualists, originalists, those that believe the Constitution says what it means and that it's not some living, breathing document that just keeps morphing into what we want it to say, but it actually has some teeth to it, and those teeth are to be used to limit government.
Absolutely. And look, is Brett Kavanaugh going to be another Scalia or Alito or Gorsuch? No, he is not. But at the very worst, it's an even trade, Kennedy for Kavanaugh. Right. Let's say, you know, because people have come out and said this is another Republican nominee that's going to turn out to be a disappointment.
Like a suitor.
So but that I don't think that's going to happen. I think at very worst, based on his writings and based on the over 300 decisions that he's written for the D.C. Circuit, that it's a hold for us. Right.
Right.
It's an even swap. Kavanaugh for Kennedy. At the very worst. But I think there's a lot of upside. I think he's going to be a lot more of an originalist, a lot more of a strict constructionist than Kennedy was, because he does seem to be focused on liberty. There was one great dissent in the Garza v. Hargan case, which was the case about whether an illegal immigrant teenager detained at the border could force the U.S. government to facilitate her receiving an abortion.
Right.
And in his dissent, he endorsed Donald Trump's Justice Department's position, concluding that requiring the federal government to assist the teenager in getting an abortion would fail to recognize the federal government's, quote, permissible interest in favoring fetal life, protecting the best interests of a minor, and refraining from facilitating abortion. So I think there's tremendous upside there. But let's say, assuming arguendo, that he's going to be an even swap, that's fine. As long as we hold that position, that's fine. The big flip is going to be Barrett for Ginsburg. That's where the seismic shift is going to come. And if we do flip, you know, if we flip out Heitkamp up in North Dakota, and if we flip out Donnelly in Indiana, and there Joe Manchin in West Virginia, I think there are five that are legitimate opportunities for us to flip, and we hold all of our seats, then we're looking at like 56 senators, right? It's going to be a slam dunk for Amy Barrett at that point. A little bit more inside baseball. Do you know who voted to confirm Judge Kavanaugh to the D.C. Circuit?
No.
Robert Byrd.
Oh, how interesting.
Yeah. Robert Byrd was one of the few Democrats who voted in favor of his nomination.
Wow. Well, and I should tell you, next week, I'm going to be having Catherine Glenn Foster on. She's the president and CEO of Americans United for Life, and that's America's first national and most influential pro-life organization, and they do a lot of legal work. And so she knows about all the cases that are lined up right now that could be hitting the court with a Kavanaugh on it. And so she's going to go through those cases and say why they think that Kavanaugh could really influence the court against abortion.
Absolutely. And I just want to quickly say, because I'm sure most of your listeners have not read it, but Roe v. Wade is widely regarded by legal scholars across the political spectrum as being one of the most poorly written legal opinions ever produced by the Supreme Court.
Yes.
It is a holding in search of a rationale. Emanations and penumbras of rights that don't exist in the Constitution. If we assume this overreach, therefore that supports this further overreach, it's absolutely ridiculous. And I'd like to remind people that under the Roe trimester by trimester analysis, third trimester abortion was expected to be only available in cases where the mother would physically die.
Right.
You know, we're not talking about a mental health exception.
We're not talking about health.
We're talking about her life.
Right, right, okay, right.
So if people want to adhere to Roe, if Roe is good precedent, great. Boom. No more third trimester abortion. But. Well, hey, no, you said it. The other thing is, all of a sudden, the Democrats love stare decisis. You got to make sure that precedent is followed. Oh, really? Does that mean that Brown versus Board of Education was wrongly decided when it overturned Plessy v. Ferguson?
Right, right.
You know, some decisions need to be overturned, and Roe v. Wade is one of them. Now, does that mean that all of a sudden everybody's going to be going to back alley abortionists using coat hangers?
That's a lie.
It goes back to the states. Of course, it's a lie. Everything on the left is based on a lie.
Yeah.
Hands up, don't shoot. Every single thing on the left is a lie. Yeah. All overturning Roe will mean is that it becomes a state by state decision, as it should under our federal system.
Absolutely. And people need to know, too, that Ruth Bader Ginsburg called Roe the most extreme law in the country and has gone on record saying it's not that the court's judgment was wrong, but it moved too far too fast. Now, if Ruth Bader Ginsburg and that woman who is so old, she's probably petrified, is so extreme. Ginsburg and who was the other justice that should have recused themselves in the Obergefell decision? Kagan.
She was the Solicitor General for Obergefell in the lower court, and she didn't recuse themselves.
And they were performing same-sex marriages prior to that decision, and there they are involved in the decision. I mean, there were so many things that just were not right about that decision as well. There have been a number of bad decisions, but Roe, I would say, is the most heinous, of course, because it's cost over, 46 million lives of innocent babies since 1973. So I'm excited. I think that Kavanaugh, everything I've heard about him so far, makes me think that he will be a little more to the right than Kennedy.
That's what I say. At the very worst, he's going to be an even swap for Kennedy, so that's a hold for us. But I see tremendous upside with Justice Kavanaugh on the court.
I do as well. I just think I'm so excited about this. And there could be one or two more appointments during Trump's tenure.
Well, I think that because she's 89 years old. If she passes by, you get the distinct whiff of Febreze. Weekend at Ginsburg's.
I know. Who needs Bernie?
That's three, right? And now you're left with the eminently unqualified Sotomayor and Kagan, who were both nominated by a president that, you know, the jury's still out and whether that was a legitimate presidency. I think that Donald Trump has a lot of aces up his sleeve.
We are
only a year and a half into his first term, and the midterms are coming. I think we're going to have a very interesting summer with regard to more information coming out about the crimes that were committed by the Democrats and by the Obama crime syndicate and the Clinton crime syndicate. And I think that the trip next week, I've already tweeted about it, can two men with heinous haircuts save the world? Because I think he's going over there and he's going to lay out all the cards for Theresa May and say, Theresa, we've got the goods on you. I want you to resign and call a new election and, you know, enter Boris.
Wow.
That's my prognostication for the United Kingdom.
Oh, my goodness. Very interesting. Very interesting. Hey, something we need to talk about a little bit that I didn't know about because I've been at work at my corporate job all day. I've got a new corporate job. I may or may not talk about it on this show sometime. It's pretty fascinating. I can talk about it, but
you're loving that 5-minute commute.
I love my 5-minute commute. Absolutely. But some great news today in that President Trump pardoned the Oregon ranchers whose case sparked the Bundy takeover of the refuge. And the ranchers were Dwight Hammond, 76, and son Steve Hammond, 49. And I just think that's fabulous.
Well, it is fabulous. And this follows on a pattern of He pardoned Dinesh D'Souza. He pardoned Joe Arpaio.
Thank goodness.
You know, it's going to be like you were never here, he says to Obama. You know, all of that legacy needs to be undone because that was an 8-year crime spree. It was the greatest heist in history. They used all the slush funds that were exposed by, I still say that Pruitt's role at EPA was to intentionally expose all the slush funds and all the illegal moving of money so that Andy can now come in and clean it all up and hopefully reduce EPA from a cabinet level agency down to a division of the Bureau or the Department of Interior.
Yes. Quick quote from the White House. The Hammonds are devoted family men, respected contributors to their local community, and have widespread support from their neighbors, local law enforcement, and farmers and ranchers across the West. Justice is overdue for Dwight and Stephen Hammond, both of whom are entirely deserving of these grants of executive clemency. I say amen to that because I know people who know them, and they were just aghast that they should be in prison. These are good men. And another quote from Greg Walden, who's one of the few conservative lawmakers here in Oregon. He said, today is a win for justice and an acknowledgement of our unique way of life in the high desert rural West. I applaud President Trump for thoroughly reviewing the facts of this case, rightly determining the Hammonds were treated unfairly, and taking action to correct this injustice. Thank God for President Trump. I tell you what, Timothy.
Tammy, I keep saying it. I can't believe I love this man as much as I do. For the second time in my life, I love the president.
Isn't it crazy?
I feel about Donald Trump the same way I felt about Ronald Reagan.
It's amazing how he's endeared himself to us. Hey, the time has run out. Timothy Shea, thank you so much for being on the show. People can find you on Facebook somehow. How do they do that?
Well, it's going to be a little difficult because this morning at 7:45, they bounced both of my profiles off of being an admin on Reclaim America. I've been posting the videos to Reclaim America with Kimber Gilbertson. And they've been attacking Kimber's page as well, independently of attacking me, but I'm caught up in that too. You know, the heat is on, but we are fighting a guerrilla war. I'm going to have a big announcement for you, I think, by the next time I come on again.
Okay, that sounds good. We'll be looking forward to it. Timothy Shea, thank you so much for taking the time to be on the show.
Thanks, Tammy. Great to be on.
Hey, thanks for listening, everybody. The Tammy Jackson Show will be back next week with more great guests. Until then, this is Tammy Jackson reminding you to wake up. Don't be silent. Let your voice be heard because you and I have a country to save.
I cut my teeth on the back of an old church pew. I learned to walk in the ways of light and truth. And I was told not to speak till I was spoken to. I heard it preach what I should and I should not do. And the choir sang. I tried to be a good boy, but I ain't a boy no more. I've seen that a man just can't ignore. And this world's gonna see what I'm standing for. I've kept my peace, but I can't hold my tongue anymore.